We've been going through our series on what if you were free? What if you were free? Now, again, the devil will come in and tell you that there is, if you ever figure out that you are in bondage to something, the devil quickly says, but you're different. You can't get out of that one. It could be a habit. It could be a fear. It could be your past. It could be your present. Could be a relationship that you're in. You could be a financial difficulty, a health problem, and something that you are doing to yourself, as that most of our problems are self-inflicted. But I asked the question tonight, what if you were free from a corrupt mind? Now, I'm not saying you ever could, will be, or I'm just asking, what if you were free from it? What if your mind was not filthy? Or what if your mind was not chained to a certain way of thinking? Sometimes we talk about a corrupt mind and we think that person must be disgusting. A corrupt mind is not just pornography. It's not just lust for other humans. You can have a mind that has been corrupted, and it keeps you thinking a certain thing. It keeps you thinking a certain way. You maybe have been handed ways of thinking by your parents or by others in your life. And you take that thinking process and you think that's the way you're supposed to think. And at the end of the day, you go to bed and you say, I wish my life was different. But your life is not different because you don't think different. And you don't think different because you don't think you can think different. You use your brain to keep your brain in bondage. Humans are messed up. Just telling you. We are messed up. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice here, a corrupted mind is connected with religion. What's religion? Religion is what you believe you must do for God, and that which, on one hand, duty towards God and ignores the grace of God. It is the duty that is from, it is prompted by me to please God. That is why somebody can be very religious and not saved. Because it is not something that they receive from God and then reflect. It is something that they produce themselves. That's why religious people can be some of the meanest people in the world. Because they are producing their faith and their religion. Here we have a mind that's been corrupted from simplicity. Jesus Christ is simple. He gives you two commandments. In the original Garden of Eden, he gave him one commandment and then an opportunity. In the New Testament, he gives us two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we have a lot of young people here tonight. And I'm grateful that you're here. Parents, never be embarrassed that you have your child with you. If it embarrasses you, I understand. It doesn't embarrass me. It doesn't bother me a bit. If your child is screaming, ear-piercing screams, that would bother me a little bit. But I think you would be able to figure that out before I do. I don't know about you, by the way, just for the kids, I always was just burning with shame when my kids were disobedient. And by the way, parents, that's what you're supposed to be, right? You're responsible for your children. Just be careful that you're not totally ashamed and embarrassed how they misbehave in front of other people, but at home you let them do whatever they want to do. Amen? That's called hypocrisy. But it's not bothering me, and truth is people would say, oh, those kids don't bother me. And that's, listen, if I don't have to take care of them, they ain't bothering me. Amen? Now, spouse, you may be embarrassed of your spouse. There's not much we can do about that. So let's just keep on rolling. Simplicity. Simplicity. I want you to imagine, if you will, you ever heard of how the mind, an analogy like the mind is like a hard drive of a computer? Have you ever thought of that? Or the brain is like a computer? There are a lot of ways in which that is not true. The brain is a living organism. The computer is not organic in that sense, although they try to work on organic computing and so forth, but it's mechanical more than anything. There's a lot of ways that it doesn't match, but there are some ways that it does. And one of the ways is how a hard drive can be corrupted. And I thought about that. Have you ever had a blue screen of death show up, or a little notice that pops up and says, this drive is corrupted, and you can no longer use it? And what's frustrating is, it was working 2 seconds ago, and now the lords of Microsoft or somewhere decided that the hard drive is corrupted, and you know that stuff is on there, but you can't get to it because it's corrupted. So then you have to call the nerdiest person that you know and say, you know how to get anything off a hard drive that's corrupted? And then they come in and they say, I'll tell you what needs to be done. And they happen to have some black market, you know, disk recovery software that they bring in from 1982. They slide it in, it's all, you know, MS-DOS, and they're able to access things, you know, they get secret ninja moves from the government, and they can come in and, you know, fix it all for you. And you're like, wow, that's really cool. They're like, yep, that's the way it's done. And they walk out. It's awesome. I love it. And I don't know if you've ever had a hard drive where you keep that hard drive because you're afraid that you don't have everything off of it, and you just keep stacking them up, you know. That may not be what you do, but I've got several hard drives. But when a hard drive gets corrupted, there is a major problem here, because what is intended to help you now stands in the way, in fact, makes your life worse. Here's some things to think about. It's almost as if it was a filing system in a hospital and you had files that are put in, files that are taken out, somebody forgets to put the file back in, or they put the file in the wrong place, or you can't get the drawer open, you know, for J through L, and so now that part is not accessible, or the doctor takes the file folder home, forgets to bring it back, or you got two Tony Smiths and they both get put in the same file and now you're trying to access two different people. That can be a dangerous thing in a hospital when records get messed up. And it's a dangerous thing on a computer as well. Because what happens is the computer operating system is trying to categorize everything, place it in accessible places, so that when you say something or ask it something, it says, yes, I know right where that is. What happens is you end up with a lot of different problems on a hard drive. For instance, you can have bad sectors. You can have literally physical damage to the drive. And it's kind of like a human. A human can have physical damage to the body, to the mind. You get on drugs, yeah, it's going to do some damage to your mind. It will cause you not to be able to access certain parts of your brain. It's a dangerous thing. When you have problems with the head tracking issues, you end up with a program that's writing incorrect data. And then it goes to, you ever have a dollar sign, an ampersand, and you know, all these crazy, you know, a pound sign all in a row? What's happening is the computer is just grabbing random characters and throwing it at you because it can't find it. It's messed up. There is false information that's being given to you. It's kind of like the brain sometimes. We think about corrupt minds. It could be false information that you are operating under. Could be something your mom said to you. Could be something that you heard in school, and it guides your thinking. It's not true. Software failures sometimes happen. Virus damage. Intentionally damaging essential files on your hard drive. That's what viruses are. And by the way, people say all the time, sorry guys, I just had my email hacked. Most of the time when people say that, they're not telling you that they put their information on a website that was very sketchy, and then they got hacked. Very rarely do we get hacked from the outside. It does happen, but most of the time we are going out looking for things, looking for sweet BitTorrent sites that we can download pirated games and pirated movies from, and we open our not that would be actual piracy, because a pirate is someone that takes something that belongs to someone else, and you're not doing that. Interesting thought. But what happens is, when you are willing to do anything to get what you want, you open yourself up to attacks. And that's why bad actors on the internet love those kind of sites. They set those sites up. They say, hey, we'll hook you up. We'll give you your yearbook from 1973. You're like, absolutely. And then before you know it, you're being hacked. You're giving yourself away. But a corrupt hard drive and a corrupt mind do share some similarities. In other words, it's not just the worst possible thing. Or maybe I should say that the worst possible thing that your mind could be doing may not be what you think it is. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Sometimes we think about that person has a filthy mind. What does that mean? Do you realize that holiness is found in God Himself? And any step from holiness is filthiness. So if I take two steps away from God, I'm two steps closer to filthiness. The further I get from God, the closer I am to filthiness, and vice versa. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Here's what's weird about it. You can have a hard drive that contains a virus, and you never really know it. And all of a sudden, something happens. You try to do something, and now your computer begins to act erratically. Okay, Christians, we can go in our lives for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and even years, and we're focused on that sin over there, and we can even comfort ourselves by saying, I don't do that wicked, filthy sin, and we have a corrupt mind and don't even know it. Because we're not doing what they're doing. Could be that you and I have something in our hearts and minds that is corrupting us right now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, and it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that, what's the time word? Now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When is the Spirit working in the culture? He's working now. The prince of the power of the air is right now working in the children of disobedience. Humans are born into a corrupt culture. Now, is our culture more wicked today than it was before? Well, it's like saying this, and I would say that there is more wickedness available. The Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse. But question, what's worse, 100 sins or 200 sins? 50 bad addictions or 75 bad addictions? Well, I don't know, man, I'd go with 50 addictions. How about going with no addictions? You see how it's easy in our minds, we think, well, I'm not as bad as they are. That's like saying, well, I don't have as bad a cancer as she does. Man, I know I'm dying and everything, and it's killing me, and I'm having to go to chemo, but it's not as bad as hers. We've got to be careful that we recognize corruption is corruption. Sin is sin. Humans, here's Humanity 101, in case you wanted, if you need any extra lessons. Humanity 101. Are you ready? Humans tend to do what they like to do. Humans tend to do what they like to do. And so why do you have this corruption? Because you invited it into your life. And yes, people have done things to you, but the Bible says here, they are fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The habits you enjoy or the habits that you hate are things that you enjoy at the same time. What's interesting to me is habits that you have in your life. Humans are disgusting. People eat their body. on a regular basis. People eat weird stuff and do weird things to their bodies. And what's weird is, and you were like, oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the thing that you don't find disgusting, but everybody else says you shouldn't do that. That's destructive. You're hurting yourself. It's like your little kid. They have a tendency to pick their scabs. What is that? A scab is God's Band-Aid, right, kids? God puts a Band-Aid on you and says, this will heal you. When you pick your scabs off, you are hurting yourself. But it's like, it's there. And it's harder than the rest of the skin, so I'm attracted to it. And I just got to pull it off. Some people go further than that. You've got to recognize that the habits that you don't even think about it, you don't even consider, other people look at that and say, no, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Absolutely. How do I know that? Because that's what you say about them. How can you do that? How can you possibly sit there and do that? Humans are destructive to themselves. But why do humans do that? Because a human has the ability to enjoy that which is destroying him. It's wild. You say, well, I don't understand adrenaline junkies. How could they jump off of bridges? How could these guys launch off and do, you know, parasailing and in these gliding suits? And how can they do that? They enjoy doing things that are potentially dangerous. Wouldn't make any sense to some people, but to the person doing it, they enjoy it. See, my destructive habits may seem disgusting to you, but I feel compelled to do them. I'm compelled to do it, so I can't help myself. Now you just need to stop. Sick and tired of it? It's wrong. You oughtn't to be doing that. It's disgusting. And moms, by the way, you need to be on their head all day long and tell them. But the Holy Spirit will be right on top of your head as well, telling you about your disgusting habits. We all have them. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Here's a great passage talking about the mind. 6 verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Whatever you invest your time in will produce more of that thing. It will increase your desire for it. It will amplify it. So when you sow a seed, it comes up more than one seed. Whatever seed you sow, it will multiply in the ground and come up with more. So if you sow to your flesh, you will have more corruption in your life. If you sow to your spirit, you will have more spirituality, more God working in your heart. You will have more desire for God if you invest desire in God. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Teenagers, singles, listen to me. Christians, listen to me. I tried reading the James, but it was like, you know, it was like, I don't know, man, I don't get it. Is that what you said when you first tried to figure out that level? Is that what you said when you first decided that you were interested in that person and they weren't interested in you? So you said, I'm out, forget it. You know what we have a tendency to do? What we want to do. And we overcome obstacles. Here's what you do. You sit down and you tell yourself, I'm going to sow to my spirit today. I'm going to read the Bible regardless of whether my flesh wants to read the Bible. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to open it and I'm going to put my finger, here's a trick, kids, listen. I'm going to put my finger by the words. You learned this in first grade, remember? And I'm going to keep my finger there, and then if I don't pay attention, I'm going to make myself go back to the beginning of the chapter and I'm going to read again. Why? I want to invest spiritually. If I sow to my spirit, I'll reap more of the spirit. You say, this is so basic. And it is. This is where we need to live, right here. We enjoy our sin, but we often fail to connect it to our corruption. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Here's a wonderful verse about faith. Faith is an action verb. James tells us that. Don't talk about how you feel faith. Talk about what you do with your faith. Because faith is an action. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 15. Speaking of these people who left their old ways and their old culture and went out looking for a country, it says, and truly, verse 15, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Notice the word mindful. If they had been thinking about going back to that country, they would have had an opportunity to go back. But you know why they didn't go back? Because they didn't have a good opportunity to go back. And they didn't have a good opportunity to go back because they weren't thinking about going back. Here's one of the biggest secrets of the Christian life. It's amazing. You're going to love it. What you think about, you become. And so the devil comes up with stuff, and he doesn't assault mature Christians with the same thing that he assaulted them when they were young Christians. He hit them with all kinds of physical habits back here. And some filthiness, disgustingness, oh, we don't want to do that. But I'm grown in the Lord now. And so with the devil, he gave up. Because he realized I got victory over that. He's like, no, man, now we're talking about a super Christian here. So he backed out. No, he didn't. He changed tactics. Now he uses different ways to corrupt your mind than he did 20 years ago. The devil does not use, why? Because he's not stupid. He's the most subtle being in the world. He said, I fear lest by any means your mind should be corrupted from the simplicities in Christ. The devil got to a being with no sin. He got to Eve. And through Eve, he got to Adam, and he got to every single one of us in this room tonight. How did he do it? He did it by coming to her and offering her something that was good, something that was pleasant, something that would help her improve and grow and get what she wanted. And all she had to do was just do what the one thing God said not to do. She walked away from God. Why? Not because she wanted to be filthy, nasty, disgusting, worst Proverbs 7 woman you can imagine. No. She walked away from God. That's all you need to know. Not even why, not how, not when, not where. She just walked away from the Lord. I didn't say she walked away from church. You can be in church and not be with the Lord. How do I know that? If you're a kid in here, you're not a member of Hope Baptist Church. We want you here. We love you. But you're not a member. Why? Because you don't have a choice. You don't get to choose whether or not you're here. Now, you can choose your attitude while you're here. But you really don't have a choice until you can make your own decision and say, I'm here. I'm here. So what happens is the devil comes along and offers you something that is better than what God is offering you. Whatever you invest your time in will produce more of that particular thing. What our mind thinks about produces its own opportunities. It's amazing. What you think about produces its own opportunities. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So if you are used to having a pattern of destructive negative thinking, your mind has gotten to the point where it produces things that reinforce you your negative thinking. For instance, when we wake up in the morning, we all have habits. We wake up in the morning, clean slate. We all have habits. The first thing you do is probably going to set you in a certain direction for the rest of the day. So what do? If the first thing you do is get up and check Facebook, you are investing the most important time of the day, and it is going to bring forth fruit in your life. Now, occasionally, you can be edified on Facebook. But you and I both know, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is, social media, you invest that time of the day, you are going to reap something. Not just one thought, a whole bunch of thoughts. You take a minute, and just like the Lay's potato chip, bet you can't scroll for 1 minute. But you invest that time early part of the day, your mind is prepared to do something important. Now, you might be half asleep, but it's amazing how sin can wake you up. You're going to invest that time, and it is going to bring forth lots of fruit. If you say, I'm going to invest spiritually, what's crazy about sin versus righteousness, about flesh versus spirit, is that if you invest flesh, you'll get a return right now, and then you'll feel miserable later. If you invest in the spirit, you're going to feel miserable first, and then you're going to feel great later. And it doesn't have any kind of sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. But you're going to get into your Bible, and you're going to read it, and you're going to go, what in the world? I don't even know what this is talking about. Why can't we have a Bible the way we speak? Because the way you speak is not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not holy enough. God wants to raise you up to his level. I'm not going to come down to your level and be like you. Perish the thought. God wants to bring us up. So we go in the scripture and we look at it and it's like, oh yes, okay. And if you can, the better you are at telling your flesh to shut up and listen to God, the more God will speak to your heart. Now, if you're starting out, young people, it may take you a day, 2 days, a month of faithful reading. God's testing you out. And you may be coming off of a big habit that you've developed over the years. It may take some time to go through withdrawals from the world before God can actually start speaking to you. Humans are born a corrupt culture, but whatever you invest your time in will produce more of that thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Romans 7 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I have the power to choose who my mind serves. Some Christians think, I got two dogs inside. One's a white dog, one's a black dog. I got two angels. What is it? Emperor's New Groove. Get the little red angel, the little red devil shows up over here. A little white angel with a harp. And chapter and verse, please. Every time I watch that screen, that's what I want to say. Red suit, horns, and pitchfork. It's not in the Bible. But anyhow, that shows up. And that's the idea. But what we have a tendency to think is I have this old nature and this new nature, and that's the only thing I can be. And I can't get... Here's the weird thing about it. It's the ability, a Christian has the ability to choose whom he serves. So there's a third character in there somewhere. If it's Jesus Christ or the flesh, those are the two choices, and I'm choosing between them, then I can't be Jesus Christ, right? If I'm choosing between the flesh and Jesus Christ, I'm choosing, I can't be the flesh. Are you following what I'm saying? This may be a revelation. What I'm saying is, you are not the flesh. You say, I'm just a wicked sinner. Not in God's eyes. He'd never be taking you to heaven if you're a wicked sinner. Well, no, it's Jesus. Jesus makes me righteous. Jesus makes who righteous? I thought you were a wicked sinner. You follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to give you an understanding that you have an ability to choose between the flesh and the spirit. There's a new nature, but somebody is yielding. Romans chapter 6, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin and of death or of obedience and of righteousness. So who's doing the choosing? I don't claim to have that all figured out. I'm just telling you, there's three parts to you. You are making a choice between those two things. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Look at Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind. They're always posting pictures on Visco, whatever that thing's called. It's like, look at how hot I am. I am one of the hottest. Actually, I would say pretty hot. What is the vanity of your mind? Do you think your future kids care about that? You think your future husband cares about that? Guarantee he doesn't. Why? What he's concerned about, any godly man is not wrapped up in how you look on the outside. And he certainly doesn't want you showing everybody else how sexy you can be. Any godly man doesn't. Amen? We're shaving too close here. That was not even in my notes. I don't know where that came from. Forgive me. Guys, listen, if you do that, you're not going to hell. You're simply yielding to the flesh. You're simply yielding to the vanity of your mind. It's not making you a better Christian. It's not helping you show the glory of Jesus Christ to this world. It's helping everyone look at you and idolize your body. Looking at you and saying, wow, I wish I were you. You're encouraging idolatry. You don't even recognize it. See, we all have destructive habits, don't we? We all do. And some people are sitting here going, I can't believe what the young people are doing. Man alive. Believe me, back in your day, you'd been doing the same thing. How do I know that? Because you are no different than the kids of your culture of that day. Why? Humans are destructive to themselves. They do what they want to do, regardless of what it's doing to themselves or to others. So we have to be careful with this. He says, walk not in the vanity of your mind, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. This is unsaved people, Gentiles, he's saying. They are ignorant. They have a blind heart, verse 18. Who, being past feeling, the devil has jerked by the tail, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They not only want to do unclean things, they are greedy about doing it. They want to do everything they can possibly do. But he says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Are you a Christian? Then you haven't learned that stuff from Jesus Christ. There is no unrighteousness in him. There's no greediness in him. There's purity. There's love. There's self-sacrifice. There's humility of mind. Here's what we're supposed to do. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in your mind. Renewed. How do I get this? Well, I have to put off the old man. I can't be doing junk. Can't be watching some wicked movie. You can't be listening to some junk music and just say, Lord, I just love you so much. Careful, you might be worshiping another Jesus. I mean, I don't even think you're thinking about God at all. But if you are and you're listening to junk music, that's not Jesus Christ of the Bible. So if you're in, you got to put off the old man. That gives you a clean slate to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Come back and say, Lord, what do you want from me? Over here, you're like, this is mine. Just like Smeagol. This is mine. I want this. You can't tell me I can't. And I'm tired of everybody having rules. And everybody's always saying I can't do anything. Hey. Does that sound like Jesus Christ to you? I'm just sick and tired of my parents. I feel like they're so hypocritical. Okay, does that sound like the spirit of Christ? It's not the spirit of Christ. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of the devil that says, oh yeah, Jesus, you think you're so great? My throne is going to be even higher than yours. In fact, I'm getting sick and tired of everybody worshiping you like you're some... That's the spirit of the devil. Spirit of the devil says, and by the way, we won't go there. The Bible talks about Jannes and Jambres. They were men of corrupt minds. They withstood Moses. Moses came in, guided by God, given the power of God, showing signs to direct the people of Israel out of Egypt. And they walked up and said, Moses, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Oh yeah? Oh yeah? We could do the same thing. Everything Moses said, they came right back to him. We got to be careful. that when God puts somebody, an authority in our lives, that we don't come back at them. That's not the spirit of God. It's the spirit of the devil. That could be a way that your mind is corrupted. If your parents are the biggest problem in your life, you're not right with God. If your boss is the biggest problem in your life, you're not right with God. If your husband is the biggest problem, you're not right with God. If your family is your biggest problem, and your unsubmissive wife and your rebellious children are the biggest problem in your life, you're not right with God. How can that be? Because the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. The head of the woman is the man. The head of the man is Christ. You are to be submitted to the Lord. When you are submitted to God, your biggest concern is not everybody else's disobedience. Your biggest concern is your own obedience to Christ. Sir, if you have a problem with your unsubmissive, bossy wife, you actually have a problem with Jesus Christ. You don't like submitting to him. Now, I know that goes against the grain, because let me guess, everybody else is the problem, right? They're all the problem. You're the victim. You're doing it all right, as far as you know. I mean, hand on the Bible, I'm doing everything right. No, you're not. It is your unsubmissive spirit to the Lord that is being allowed to amplify itself in your wife and your children. Again, we're off track here. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 23, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God. Who's putting on the new man, by the way? You are. Who's you? Well, just an old, wretch, dirty, rotten. Well, you already put off the old man. And now you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, and now you're putting on the new man. Who are you? Well, I don't know who you are exactly, but I know this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Man, it sure do change some things when you start thinking about the fact that you are not that old nasty sinner that you were before you got saved. Now, you still have an old nature that can sin like a boss, but that's not you. Who are you? Maybe we ought to think about, who am I? Who am I? Devil climbs up on your shoulder and says, the reason why you do that is because you're the worst person in the world. And you always have done it, and you always will do that. Liar. It's not true. The old man is dead, but I can put him back on sometimes. So my job is to take the old man off, be renewed in the spirit of my mind, say, Lord, I'm coming to your word. Cleanse my heart with the word of God, Psalm 119. And then, Lord, I'm going to put on this new man. I am going to believe that Jesus Christ can do in me what he wants to do. I'm going to believe the Spirit of God can direct my life. Isn't it amazing how we have more faith in the old nature than we do in the new nature? We believe very strongly that we're going to sin. You ever had this premonition that you're getting ready to sin? You ever had one of those? I have. What is that? That's believing the old nature. What about the new nature? Do you believe that you can honor God and bring forth glory to God in your life? If you don't believe it, you don't have faith in the new nature. Put on the new man, he said. Now, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12, and then we're going to look at Philippians 4, and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Here's the problem. When you get tired of corruption and you decide to fight it, you will get tired. You will get tired. Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Your mind can get weary and tired. It's not just a matter of deciding today, I'm going to serve God. I'm sick and tired of this nasty old nature. I'm serving God. You'll make that decision probably once a day and more than once a day for the rest of your life. Why? Because your mind gets tired. He said in 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. The mind seems to be a vulnerable thing. It's not a matter of mind over matter. That's not possible in the Christian life. It is a matter of Christ's mind over my matters. Christ's mind, not my mind. It's not, well, you just better think better thoughts. Man alive, I want to, and I go to, but then I say, I can't do it. I'm too weak. I'm trying to get off this bad habit. So I hear somebody saying, you got to stop that. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. No more, no more, no more, no more. The problem is I got myself into it with my own strength, and I can get out with my own strength for a while, but I clean up my house, and the devils, the spirits look and say, oh, a clean house. You ever notice how you clean your garage and then it's like junk multiplies out of thin air and fills the garage out of nowhere? How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Nature abhors a vacuum. And so everybody in the family and in the neighborhood's like, oh, there's a place to put that pillar from the wedding back in the day. And, oh, here's an old lawnmower, right? I got all kinds of stuff. And it just keeps piling. And when I clean it out, what happens? It naturally fills up. That's the way our lives are. That's the way our minds are. We clean it up. So here's what you have to do. You got to fill it with the right stuff, so the bad stuff can't fill it. I never have thought, when my garage is filled, I have never thought about what I'm going to put in there. The first thing is, I got to get all the junk out of there, and then I can fill it. If your mind's filled with good stuff, you don't have to worry about it being filled with bad stuff. You see, we're not supposed to be perpetually empty-minded. That's why the Christian life is not all about, don't do that bad stuff. Sick and tired of sin. Hate it, hate it, hate it, and kick it out. Don't bring that stuff around here no more. That doesn't do anything. All that does is clean the garage. What are you going to put in your mind? What are you going to fill your heart with? What are you going to think about, Christian? It's not just stop listening to that, stop watching that, stop wearing that, stop doing that. Well, that could clean you up, but now what are you going to listen to? What are you going to watch? What are you going to wear? What are you going to eat? Who are you going to hang out with? What books are you going to read? What places are you going to go? What kind of friends are you going to have? See, all you'll do is sit there and listen to your parents or your pastor or whoever, and they're just harping, harping, harping. And all you hear is, you're trying to tell me what to do. You're trying to tell me what to do. No, I'm trying to give you an opportunity to yield to the Spirit of God. Let him fill up your garage with everything he wants in there, rather than you constantly trying to clean out your garage so you have a clean garage. I got a large, empty building on my property. What good is that? What good is it, Christian, for you to get rid of all the sins? Like a friend of mine said, I went down to the altar last night and gave up all my pride. Hey, amen. I wish I'd gone down that night. That would have been great. That's not the whole purpose. He said, let this mind be in you. Let it be in you. There's some stuff that needs to be out, but there's some things that need to be in. When you decide to fight corruption, you're going to get tired. So to strengthen the mind, lengthen the time with God. Philippians 4:6. I'm not much on bumper stickers. That's my best attempt right there. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will be within your grasp. As you seek his face and mourn, no, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The action is happening to me. I'm not going out and looking up and finding the old sermons I heard from years ago and bringing peace into my heart. I am receiving the peace of God as I do what? As I let my requests be made known unto God. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't jump over this verse. I know he says whatsoever things are over and over and over again. But he says that because he's trying to be as clear as possible speaking to us who want to jump over the verse. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, he's breaking it down like first grade teacher used to do, because you and I need that. Well, what do I do, my Christian life? Stop drinking. I'm just sitting around. Got nothing else to do. Here's what you do. You start thinking intentionally on these things. You say, well, I've got a major problem. I've got this fear. Well, just so you know, fear doesn't come from God. So you may hang on to it because of your upbringing, because of your background, because of that thing that happened to you when you were seven, because of how your parents treated you, because of your propensity or your culture or where you were raised or blah, 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 blah. But it did not come from God, period. How do I know that? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, think on these things, and the peace of God, what does it say, shall keep your hearts and minds. Verse 9, the God of peace shall be with you. Peter said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope. Your mind is fragile. It's fragile. What if you had a diamond that you carried around in your pocket? Now, I know most ladies, you can't even hardly see the diamond, okay? That's why you get it mounted, so that everybody can see it. But imagine if you had a diamond. It was the most precious thing that you had, as far as a gem is concerned. And you carry it around in your pocket. You know what's going to happen? It's going to get lost. Your mind is a very precious thing. The Lord wants to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do you do that? You got to have a place that holds what is precious. And you got to continually come back and say, my mind is vulnerable, it's weak, it can be shaken. I've got to hold on to this. How do I do it? I lengthen my time with God, and I let my requests be made known unto God. And I say this, God, I don't know how we're going to pay this bill. God, I don't know how to fix this problem in my heart. God, I have this habit that I can't stop. In God, there may be things that I'm corrupted in. I don't even know what's going on in my heart. God, you got to help me. You got to help me. You got to help me. And the peace of God comes in and keeps your mind. It will gird up your mind. Now, if you're not in front of God and you're not lengthening your time with God, you're like, yeah, Evelyn Wood speeding, you know, speed reading, got that done. Okay, now, whoo, now I got my guilt taken care of. Now I can go live for the flesh. You can't keep your mind that way. You can't keep your mind that way. Your mind is going to go and it's going to bring forth fruit under your flesh. It's going to multiply. And you're going to say, I read my Bible this morning. No, you didn't. Lengthen the time with God and it will strengthen your mind. Now, lengthen the time doesn't necessarily mean hours. Some people are like, I listened to Scorby all night just for, you know, by the way, Scorby was not a saved individual. He was a Hollywood actor. Just saw him on Bonanza the other night. The Word of God can do wonderful things, but you got to think about it. You got to think about it. You got to think about it. You can't just sit there and speed read through your Bible. Prayer. I've had people that tell me, I pray for you every day. Thank God for that. But then I hear them say that to every other person in America, and I'm going, okay, mentioning my name. I guess that's what prayer is all about. It's, you know, they're going to. So it's not just lengthen the time with God. Remember when you were interested in God? Have you ever been interested in God? He's interested in you. He loves you. I can promise you this, you'll never love God more than he loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to get to know you. You say, well, I wish I knew more. I wish I was growing. Invest. Start investing. And as you invest, you're going to see the Spirit brings forth life everlasting in your heart. Eternal life. What if you were free from your corrupt mind? You can be. Not only can you be, you ought to be. Because Jesus Christ died to set you free from that law of sin and death and to give you life everlasting. Let's bow our heads in prayer this evening.